Newsman, let's do this again.
Yes, another week, another podcast, and plenty of diverse topics as usual.
Remember this week when we realised we were going to hit 25 million people living in Australia?
Yes, the country's getting bigger. Can we cope with it? Well, the population anyway.
Yeah.
And my obsession with like watching that population grow before my eyes.
Yeah, I thought you were having me on that you were watching a live countdown clock, but I checked up on that after we spoke about it, and you were right.
Someone ruined it a bit for me about it's just statistically going up, but still, I like the thought of, you know, the growth happening by the minute.
Yep. Also, the world's most precise clock.
Speaking of clocks, have we got a clock theme?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think. The most accurate clock in the world has been built in Adelaide.
It's definitely not in my car, and it's definitely not one of my old watches that have been rehashed. This one's a beauty.
Yeah, not even really being used to tell the time exactly from what I could gather. Anyway, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, you do blow my mind with that one.
How do I draw a parallel? How do I segue continuing our clock theme into... You had a short rant about a new category the Oscars have opened up.
Yeah, what a waste of time, but you can find out about that later.
Ugh. And the body parts that might indicate how smart you are.
Now, I've been pondering on this one since we recorded that. I'm feeling really bad. I've really insulted one of my favourite movie stars in this, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, all that and lots of other things that you may or may not find offensive on this week's One Newsman and a Web Guy. Newsman, Australia hit 25 million residents this week.
This was a great story about the growth of Australia. And to be honest, I was in the newsroom on the day earlier this week where it ticked over to 25 million. And I kept finding myself going to the, I think it's the ABS population.
Well, hang on. Let's not be too tricky.
What?
As we speak, it's Tuesday.
Yes.
This is going to tick over tonight.
Yes.
So, do you mean you're going to be checking?
No, I've been checking it.
Like, you have in the lead up.
I'm checking it like it's coming up towards a cricketer making their century.
Do they really?
It's ticking along as we speak.
Wow. Okay, I haven't looked at that.
Yeah. So I keep thinking like, I keep thinking of the good news that probably a lot of those ticks along.
Yeah.
Are new babies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Let's look at that. And interesting that you say it's great news. I don't think everyone has said it's great news.
No, but individually.
Yeah.
You think, oh, there's probably been 200 families since I was watching it feeling good about life.
You know the yin and yang. Yes, new babies are being born. But you know the flip side. And we'll look at that in a sec.
Yeah.
The other thing to quickly mention is we have hit 25 million way ahead of what was predicted. I don't know how far ahead of schedule we are, but it's many, many years.
Yeah, it's decades, I believe.
Decades. Okay. So 25 million means one baby born every 102 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually, I said 102 seconds. It's one. Oh, man, I'm getting, what are they sending me here? I'm looking at a sheet of info. It says one baby born every 1 minute and 42 seconds.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's 102.
Yes.
So 1 minute, 42 seconds, baby born. One death every 3 minutes and 16 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So we are making a lot more than we are losing. I guess that means.
Three times? No, twice.
Something like that.
Twice as much.
You're the maths man. You're the newsman and the maths man. One person arrives to live in Australia every 1 minute and 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
And one Australian resident leaves Australia to live overseas every 1 minute and 51 seconds. So we have more coming in than going out as well. All this adds up to overall total population increase of one person every 1 minute, 23 seconds.
Right, okay.
So does that match about with your experience sitting at the computer refreshing?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
1 minute and 23 seconds.
Hopefully the boss isn't listening that, you know, that's how I've been spending my few minutes in between news bulletins.
So we hit 25 million this week, which is way quicker than previously expected. At this rate, we will hit 36 million by 2050.
Mm.
And this is where the story maybe is not so great for a lot of people, because that is massive growth. And can we actually, maintain that many people?
Mm.
All the people who are migrating to Australia, 90% of them are settling in Sydney and Melbourne. Those two cities are maxed out, and over the next, 30 years, just going to be more so.
Mm.
I think they're going to try and spread it around.
Yeah.
But I don't know. My take is, the world has too many people. This is not just an Australia thing.
Mm.
If we're growing, and I don't have the number here, but we're growing pretty much faster than anyone in the G12 nations. Our population growth is 1.6%, which is higher than global growth of 1.2, and is the highest of G12 nations. We're rocketing along, but so is the whole world. Global growth of 1.2. So we've only got a limited amount of space and resources, blah blah blah, and more and more and more. Is that a problem? I know that's kind of a conservative comment to say, well, you know, let's hang on, let's take a second thought here, folks.
Mm. So you're concerned about it.
Well, is it not something to at least think about?
Absolutely.
Understand?
Absolutely. And I heard the comparison that the size of Australia compares to America, yet our population is, you know,
yeah,
less than a tenth of theirs. But then I'd love, I'm sure it's been done, but a map of land that can actually be realistically developed in Australia.
Yeah, exactly.
It would probably be a third of the country, would it?
That sounds about right, because there's a slab up the middle of Australia.
That would just be too hard to...
I don't want to say uninhabitable, but it's certainly not habitable. Oh, man, that's a dumb word. It's not livable. It's not livable in a modern way.
Mm.
Maybe we need to think about going back and living like the original people.
See, one of the other theories that has come up in the debate over this 26 million milestone is that how do we make more of the regions? So for us, it would be a Mount Gambier or a Riverland. And I think realistically, you could build those up to be cities, not just sort of regions as we would describe them.
Yeah.
And I think that could work. And perhaps there need to be government initiatives to put big-time factories or IT sort of conglomerates in those areas to really attract people out of your capital cities.
It's a good point. They say universities really get an area going, about the rejuvenation of Fremantle that happened ages ago now. But I saw someone's comment that really went into, you know, that really started happening once they had a uni down there, because I guess that attracts young people, essentially. And I guess that's you know, what you need to really drive an area. So I don't know. Let's put the University of Newsman and Web Guy in Renmark.
Yes.
Let's make this happen ourselves.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, obviously that's crazy. But anyway, speaking of students, this actual 25 millionth person, because that will be one, there will be a specific person who goes down in history as the 25 millionth Australian. 25 going by what I've got here, the info here. Yes, I'll give you the
black and white
hard copy there. So statistically speaking, and I'm quoting from a news story I read here, that person most likely to be an immigrant, foreign worker, or international student flying into Sydney.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, good. It's, yeah, I was sort of curious, like, that they say it'll happen at 11 tonight.
Yeah.
And I, being Tuesday night. And I was like, well, how much sort of new visitor action occurs after business hours, like officially becoming an Australian person? So I thought it was always going to be a baby, but maybe not.
Well, the counting is not literal.
Mm. No, it's just statistically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So they're not like waiting outside a delivery room just going, everyone on their phones together. It's here.
Yeah. The ABS has agents posted at every hospital in the country.
How would they do it? How would they officially go, this is your 25th million Australian?
I don't know. To be honest.
Whoever logs their child in order or the new Australian.
Yeah, I don't
whoever
know.
Whoever puts the paperwork in.
I guess. It might be something they can go back and work out afterwards. I don't know that they would even know it in the moment, but who knows.
Part of the living in Adelaide, we've got a pretty good lifestyle. What do you feel a little bit like a fish out of water when you walk the streets of Melbourne or Sydney? Do you go, whoa, there are a lot of people here?
Oh, it's different, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah, but I mean, still we have a million people.
Mm.
That's not that small. Mm. Like, that's as big as, you know, I think that's bigger than San Francisco, bigger right. than Seattle. Like, you know, we think of US cities that are pretty major. I don't know. What's my point? What's the point of anything?
Well, you're saying it's crowded here as well, but...
No, it's not. It's clearly not. It's different. It sounds like maybe...
When they talk about these huge population explosions...
Yeah.
If Adelaide is a part of that, I'm picturing us being like Melbourne, where you're just like bumper to bumper people wherever you walk within the city.
You a watchman, Marcus?
I don't wear one at the moment, but I really enjoy having a watch, more so for what it looks like on my wrist.
Right.
I've got skinny wrists, so I like a distraction from the skinniness. Right. But I haven't worn one for a couple of years, but really just because I can't be bothered buying one.
Yeah, well, who can? These tough times.
Yeah, yep. They're a bit out of date now, aren't they, for a necessity, because everyone's got a phone these days.
Yeah, that's right. But the people who build watches, they make watches, what they're all aspiring to is to have the most precise clock possible, you know, operating inside the watch. Pretty much every watch or clock will sort of go out of time at some point, a little bit here and then a little bit there. And then it just over a period, all of a sudden your watch is off.
Mm.
So constructing, you know, engineering machinery that just doesn't go in and out of time like that is the aim of the game.
Mm.
I mention this because this week we find out in Adelaide, where we live, the world's most precise clock has been built.
Has been built.
Big claim. World's most precise. Well, I thought, okay, I know they've printed here how this watch, it's a clock, how the clock stacks up. I wanted to compare it to some of the best wristwatches in the world. And what they do with these watches is they give you a figure of how many seconds this watch will gain or lose over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Longines. I think I'm saying that right.
Okay.
They have a watch, the VHP. It is plus or minus 5 seconds per year.
That's good.
Well,
that's great.
This is one of the best watches in the world, as far as I know. And I'm not a watch expert. But, you know, I know it's a good one. The Grand Seiko 9F, plus or minus 10 seconds per year.
Yep.
So it's blown out a bit, but still, 10 seconds over a year.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to notice 10 seconds.
No.
So, you know, it's going to take 10 years before you probably even notice it's gone out of time. The Breitling.
Is it Seiko or Seiko?
You tell me.
Okay. I always thought it was Seiko. Go on.
Seiko. What did I say?
I thought you said Seiko.
I could have. As I said, I don't know about the watches.
I could have been saying it wrong all the time.
Is it Breitling or Breitling?
I don't know this
Mr.
one.
Mr. Expert Watch Pronunciation.
I'm sorry.
They have a super quartz model, plus or minus 10 seconds per year. The Omega Spacemaster Z33 not only has the best name of any watch ever made, but it is plus or minus 10 seconds a year. The Citizen Chronomaster, plus or minus 5 seconds per year. So that and the Longines, the top two in the world right there, as far as I can tell. Now, we get to this clock built in Adelaide. It's been referred to as the Sapphire Clock.
Mm-hmm. I guess the big question everyone is asking, why in this day and age when, as I mentioned, and watches and time seem to be everywhere and not so necessary, why are they going to this extreme length to make such an accurate clock?
Hang on. I've just set up all the figures for those wristwatches, and I'm just about to drop what this Sapphire clock has done.
Okay.
Are you on your edge of your seat for this?
Yes, I am. I'm watching the clock.
It is this clock plus or minus 1 second every 40 million years.
Oh, that's overkill.
At this point, I should point out it's certainly not a wristwatch. This is a cryogenic sapphire oscillator. It has a crystal at its core that's cooled to minus 267 degrees. So it's more of a science contraption, really, than certainly not a watch.
Guessing it's not going to fit on the wrist.
No, it's a laboratory experiment. Anyway, 1 second every 40 million years. I just thought that puts in perspective, you know, what we're talking about here. Some serious machinery, okay?
Who's going to prove that, though? What a claim.
Yeah.
How can they?
Scientists make all sorts of claims, don't they? We just take them at their word.
Mm.
Anyway, this clock, and this is where I have to admit I don't see the link, but this amazing clock that they have built at, I think it's Adelaide University. Definitely Adelaide University, I've just confirmed. They're using it in radar technology.
Oh.
So somehow the clock helps them build a better radar. It's so good. The radar is so good. It can detect things over the horizon.
It's a time machine.
It uses... It's called JAWN. I'm starting to get out of my depth now. The Jindalee Over the Horizon Radar Network, or JAWN, is Australia-wide network to see over the curvature of the Earth so it can spot boats and planes up to 3,000 kilometres away. So, you know, a radar will give you a heads up. Hey, incoming. You got a few minutes. Whereas this will give you, I'm going to guess now because I don't have it with me, but I think it's like, rather than having minutes notice, you've got hours.
Okay.
So pretty amazing. How the clock helps do that, I'm not 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
I've just given you the info. You can take that away with you.
Do you know what though? I actually find clocks that don't keep good time can be very handy as well.
Really?
Yeah, I used to have my previous car, Hyundai XL.
Oh,
had
iconic.
It for like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the clock would always be a couple of minutes fast. So if I was running late for an appointment, there was always hope. There was always hope that I'd make it on time. So it would say, you know, it's 9 o'clock and I need to be there at 9 o'clock. But I go, aha, there are still 2 minutes up my sleeve. And similar with, what apart from your phone, what is the clock or timepiece that you rely on? Is there like one at home or something that you would refer to quite a lot?
Yeah, on the days I get the train, there's a clock sort of in our kitchen, which is what I go by. I know exactly the exact minute I have to be out the door by to arrive at the station as the train pulls up.
That's good.
And if I am 30 seconds past what I should be, I'll miss it. But if that clock, and that clock is certainly no cryogenic sapphire oscillator, so it's going to be going in and out of, it's going to be losing or gaining seconds every year. It's going to, at some point, it's going to lead me astray. And I will be leaving at what I think is the right time, but I'll miss the train.
Isn't that funny? Like, You don't wear a wristwatch?
I've got a watch.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, thanks, yeah, for, nice thanks for noticing.
That is a nice one. But we still need timepieces a lot. Like,
yeah.
I use the oven clock as well.
The oven, yeah. Yes. That's a good one.
An oven clock.
Yeah.
And when you asked me earlier if I am a watchman, I was a big watchman, but not in the sort of convention. I always wanted one that was a bit different to everyone else. So as a child, I was very jealous of people with a calculator watch.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
the big thing in the 80s.
Yes.
Because you always need to be able to add up things when you're on the run.
Was the face like oversized as well?
Yeah, a little bit. So it was probably looked like today's, what do you call them, smartwatch?
Yeah, right.
About that sort of face.
But a lot dumber.
Yeah, yep. You could write words with it. one of my favourites was one that had 7 melodies on it. So instead of just the beep of a digital watch, it had song, the old song, The Crows, I think, or
something by Bach or Mozart.
Sort of those sort of
the classical tunes that don't have a copyright.
Copyright, yeah, pretty much. And then this is probably 30 years before most people conventionally use. I had like a jogging watch.
Oh, you were 30 years ahead of the curve.
I think so. I had a jogging watch.
Oh.
But unlike today's watch that logs how far you go, it was based on like the jolt of your wrist. And it would show you average kilometres, how far you've travelled.
So if you just sit there shaking your arm.
So pretty much implications were made about what I'm doing with my wrist to record that sort of data.
You were a character of a kid, weren't you?
I think I used implements to make myself more interesting.
I had a mental picture of you jogging around the neighbourhood, calculating sums on your watch while Mozart plays out of your wristwatch.
It wasn't very sensitive though, so you really had to almost hit your hip to sort of click, like, because you had to say, okay, each stride is a metre, like punch that in before. And then you just sort of had to deliberately sort of make your arm in that real fist punch, you know. And then finally, for some reason, I thought it was kind of out there. This is when I was an adult. I decided to wear a toy Darth Vader watch. Okay. So it was a digital watch.
Yeah.
Darth Vader face. That didn't keep very good time.
Played the Imperial March when it struck midnight.
No, it didn't do any of that. But you know when some people can pull off like retro clothing, or they try to set a something that people go, oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like a hipster.
Yeah, no one thought no one thought that was cool at all.
Did your friends hold an intervention?
No, I just, I fought it for a while and then just got rid of it.
Would have loved to have just been there on the day when you were just jogging and then took a second glance at your wristwatch and thought, hang on. This is not working. Who am I kidding?
It happened a lot. It happened a lot. So yes, this timepiece sounds a lot better than anything I've ever owned.
Newsman, you want to talk about the new Oscar category?
Not really. I've heard they're looking to incorporate the most popular film into the awards ceremony.
You have a strong opinion about it?
Well,
you do. I know you do.
Well, looking at it on the surface, it just seems like a really desperate act to try pump up the event, but shouldn't the most popular film be really considered initially?
Everyone, you heard it. Desperate, quote unquote.
That's right.
The Academy is desperate.
From a film aficionado. Desperate.
Now, that's not actually what we're even meant to talk about.
No, that is not the conversation of two smart men.
What we had planned to talk about was something else entirely, because it's been a while since we really pulled apart a listicle. You familiar with a listicle?
I think I know what you're talking about.
It sounds like a shady ingredient that they might put in sausage rolls.
Yes.
It's not.
Or an oral hygiene product.
Oh, yeah. You use listicle in the morning? All right. This is the listicle I stumbled across this week. 4 body parts that could reveal how smart you are.
Now, Tim, I'm really hoping that a massive billboard-shaped forehead is in there, because otherwise God's played a prank on me.
Why the forehead?
It's fairly prominent in my head, so I'm hoping it's there.
Oh, well, let's start there because it is one of the, some of these are, you know, fairly expected. Others, completely left field. A big head is one of them. Researchers have found that people who had larger heads as infants had higher scores on verbal numerical reasoning tests.
So what's bigger head, bigger brain, or?
I think that's the layperson way of, that's how I would describe it also. This professor said these results should stimulate further research that will be informative. Oh, he's just droning on basically there. I should have read that before I started to quote him. But yeah, I mean, that's what we would think, isn't it? Bigger head, bigger brain. But you wonder, the human brains, like from the smallest human brain to the biggest human brain, like the variation is kind of minimal. And could it give you that much of an edge?
No. And you see some genius kids that their head's obviously a lot smaller than a huge man.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're way smarter. So
yeah,
it's probably more the amount of neurons you can jam in there.
Smart kids.
The speed of them.
Smart kids like Macaulay Culkin, he had claimed that he could instantly memorize every script he ever had to learn.
God, that would be handy for all the scripts that I read. No, but memorizing things.
Yeah.
Not one of my strong points.
Photographic memory. Oh. You got it made if you have that.
Mm.
All right, something less expected. Body part that will reveal how smart you are. Long legs.
Hey. Didn't we do a story earlier this year, long legs also make you more appealing to the opposite sex?
More attractive, yes. Mm. To a point.
All right.
As long as...
They're not too long.
Yeah, as long as half of your height... As long as your legs make up half of your height, you're okay. But if you tip over, then you're considered freakish.
But in terms of intelligence, are we going to have an explanation here or is it a bit...
Let's find out.
Convoluted again.
Some researchers at a couple of universities. One of them's Princeton. Sounds fancy.
Mm.
They suggest that taller people earn more money than short people because they're smarter.
Aww.
The authors of this report used government data that collected the height, weight, intelligence, educational experience and salaries of people born in the US or the UK in 1958 and 1970, tracked them from birth into adulthood. Pretty massive study. The results of the analysis showed that people who were tall as kids performed a lot better on cognitive tests. So maybe that's what it is.
Mm.
It's not... It's how tall you are as a child, not as an adult, maybe.
Oh. Interesting.
They say tall people tend to work in higher paying occupations that require greater intelligence.
Gee, I'm very much of... I reckon it's about sort of natural... Not natural selection, but if you... stand out or are more appealing in the first place, you get more attention opportunities.
Mm.
So I reckon there's a little bit of nurture rather than nature in a lot of that. But
yeah,
they're the scientists, they're the researchers.
And we're just talking about generalizations made from huge amounts of data. Obviously, there's always exceptions. Like I feel like the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, very smart. I don't think he's tall. Mm. He's the Amazon guy. He doesn't look tall.
Mm. Bill Gates, is he clever?
He's clever.
I wouldn't think he's. Is he tall?
I don't know. He looks a bit lanky.
Oh, okay.
We'd have to. I really should have checked that.
Yeah.
Okay. You've probably heard this one before.
Just in my Bill Gates dreams, he doesn't seem big.
Hero of yours. You might have heard that being left-handed could mean you're a bit smarter. They've even admitted it was a small study. The University of Athens took 100 students and graduates. Half of them were left-handed, half of them were right-handed. Gave them two tests. And then the lefties performed better than the righties on both tests, which suggested that they had stronger working memory and mental flexibility. Some experts suspect these cognitive abilities maybe because left-handed people can use both sides of their brain better.
Mm.
I've heard that before, but I've also thought I heard that debunked as well.
Yeah. Have you ever met a left-hander that hasn't promoted these sort of studies?
Well,
they seem to have a bit of a hang-up about being a bit... They're less lefties,
yeah.
Aren't they? Or
Yeah, I think there is less of them. And yeah, maybe they are a bit proud of it. I, at this stage, 3 years old, our son, he is looking like a left-hander.
Hmm.
So I'm sure he'll be soon telling me about the studies.
We look like we've got a lefty and a righty, so hopefully we're good at tennis.
Well, that will be the... Yeah, that would be unbeatable, wouldn't they? but your situation then is going to be the perfect laboratory to really put this to the test.
Mm. Yep.
Same age, same, you know, a lot of the same physical proportions and dimensions.
Yes.
They're twins.
Yes.
One left, one right. Yep. You can make them compete and see which one is smarter.
Aha! The study is right. 16 years ago, I did a podcast and we talked about this.
As foretold in the podcast of years gone by. All right. This one confused me at first. Body part that could reveal how smart you are. Large belly.
Oh.
Now, I think what... See if you agree with me. I'll go through this, and I think what they're saying actually is a large belly may suggest you are less smart.
Oh.
They did a 5-year study of more than 2,000 adults. They found that people with a body mass index of 20 or less could recall 56% of words in a vocab test. People with a BMI that was higher than that, 30 or above, only remembered 44%.
Mm. So less. So, big belly, no good.
Yeah, less belly equals more brains, supposedly. They thought that maybe the fat hormones could damage brain cells.
Well, damages a lot of health, doesn't it? Overweightness.
Makes you want to go on a hunt to find the thing of famous fat people, though.
Mm, smart.
Who springs to mind? It's, you don't really want to name them, do you? But the the co-founder of Apple, Steve Wozniak,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say he's fat, but, you know, Steve Jobs was the skinny one.
Yeah.
And Wozniak was thought by everyone to be the smarter one.
Yeah, okay.
Not as good at marketing, blah, blah, but anyway.
I can't think of any...
Was John Candy a smart man? He seemed it.
I don't know if he was a smart man. He did movies. He obviously could remember his scripts.
Yeah.
So I can't remember him being a notable academic, but...
Not an academic. But you got to be smart to be funny. Buck. Smart Uncle to be Puck. Funny.
Yeah, you do. Smart-witted.
And he was funny.
Yes. Yeah.